Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another radically optimistic episode of the XPRIZE Future Positive Podcast. I'm Peter Diamandis, founder and executive chairman of the XPRIZE Foundation. Food security is a complex, multifaceted issue influenced by culture, environment, and geographic location. Our guest today, His Excellency Faisal Al-Banay, an award-winning tech leader in the Middle East, plays an instrumental role in building Abu Dhabi's food system through breakthrough innovations that solve food insecurity. His Excellency is the Secretary General for the Advanced Technology Research Council, the technology program management pillar of Aspire, a breakthrough research and tech hub for Abu Dhabi's government and a first of its kind in all of the Middle East. Your Excellency, welcome. Good afternoon to you. Good morning here.
Good morning and good afternoon. Hi, Peter.
It's a pleasure. And first, let me thank you and your team, and also Tony Robbins, who's one of the co-funders and sponsors, for helping launch this XPRIZE in December of 2020. I'm super excited about this. You know, as we think about the world's biggest problems, how do we create abundance in the world? How do we uplift every man, woman, and child? You know, it comes down really to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, providing people with the food, water, shelter, energy, healthcare, education, communications, knowledge. And food has always been a challenging one. And I think it's also been an area of focus for the Emirates, for UAE. Can you speak a little bit about the thinking that's been going on there and the work that's been going in food security that you've been helping to lead?
Absolutely. Hello, everyone. And again, thank you, Peter, for this discussion today. As we all know, we live in a part of the world where water is scarce. There is heavy reliance on water desalination. We would not necessarily have a lot of fertile land around. And food security is in the agenda of many nations in this regard. And UAE has been investing very heavily in innovations around food and food security for itself, but really more for the global context in that regard. And it's a critical part in the UAE National Food Security Strategy 2051. So it plays a vital role in the country strategy. It plays a vital role in our food security due to the type of resources that we have. And hence, Abu Dhabi has been pioneering in agri-tech and really investing in various forms to develop food sources, to develop innovations in food agriculture in that regard. And being that UAE is also a global hub, a logistic hub, UAE wants to see itself as a supporter to many nations on really providing to their food security in this regard. So food is in the center of our agenda, and we are investing quite heavily in it in this area.
I believe that, especially as the population of the Emirates grows, as people from around the world are coming there. There's a term that I've been reading about called the Global Food Security Index that is produced by the Economist Intelligence Unit, and it ranks countries annually by studying the question, how secure is their food? And for our listeners, can you share exactly what this Global Food Security Index means and how the teams competing can be using this this concept?
I think the what the index measures, it measures a number of parameters that go into this score, from food affordability to its availability to the consumption, food loss, and food wastage, including then agriculture infrastructure, public expenditure on R&D in this area. So it takes in a number of parameters in terms of the quality and sustainability of food, and then what kind of investment and infrastructure is each country involved in this regard. And within all of these parameters, the combined score, that's where UAE comes as 21. And I think it's a good reference number to be able to look at, you know, food security and, you know, from an overall index weighing a number of parameters in that regard. And I think it's a good balanced measure, taking into consideration a number of elements.
And let's dive in 1 second, because Aspire is our partner there and helping to fund this. Can you speak to what Aspire's mission is? And then I really want to get a little bit into what the details are around this competition and get your feedback there, really with the goal of helping people listening to motivate them to either compete or to watch this competition unfold, because it's going to change the landscape of how we feed the world. But first, tell us about Aspire.
So Aspire, you know, a good way of explaining what Aspire is, imagine it's a think tank or a team that's really working on future transformative technologies to address practical needs. So Aspire is part of the Advanced Technology Research Council. And this research council was formed sometime in the summer of last year. And the main mandate of the council is to really help and nurture building research, but building research in the applied field. So we're really looking at solving real problem statements that people are facing, or entities or countries are facing today, or things that we think they'll be facing down the line. So under the research council, there is Aspire, which is really this entity that's in charge of framing problem statements, either problem statements that exist today or anticipated problem statements, and then work on launching grand challenges or launching and to work with research centers to address these challenges in various fields. And its sister entity under the research council is TII, which is the Technology Innovation Institute, which has multiple centers, from quantum technology to autonomous to crypto to a number of fields that we have. Around 7 centers were launched, and they work hand in hand, frankly, in addressing a lot of demanding problem statements and demanding challenges through introducing advanced technology in that field. And hence how Aspire comes into this picture is, one of the topics we're definitely interested in is food security and food innovation in this space. And hence, I think the partnership with the XPRIZE, I think, is an ideal partnership for us, because it serves the umbrella goal that we have in terms of pushing the envelope and gathering bright minds from around the world to address specific problem statements. And I think food security is a problem statement that touches every country. And finding alternatives to traditional food sources is a critical matter that is quite high in the Aspire agenda.
And as Secretary General of the Council, I'm curious, what background did you have that landed you into that leadership position? Have you been on the technology side, on the government side? What is it that that you were doing prior to this?
Well, I would say up to 2 years ago, I was in the private world. So earlier in my career in terms of industries, whatever, I was in the mobility and telecommunication sector, where I've set up a company that that focuses on mobility and comms. Later on, I've set up a company that focuses on cybersecurity space and digital security. And after that, I would say I was fortunate and humbled enough to be asked by the government to look into various companies when it comes to advanced technology. One of them is Edge, which is the an entity in charge of advanced technology in the defense sector. And the other role that I was humbled to be asked to look into was the setting up of the Advanced Technology Research Council. So I would say this role, this is the first time I moved from owning the business to actually being an employee. So it's quite a change, I would say, in that regard from a...
But you're the employee. You're the employee of an incredible nation.
I would say I'm a very fortunate employee to be asked to be involved in this mission in this regard. I think the mission is massive. Being involved in moving the needle or trying to contribute to move the needle in creating an advanced technology hub and a research hub in the UAE and in the region, and really becoming a beacon of hope to a lot of young talent, not just from the UAE, but from, I mean, we are surrounded by, you know, I would say the population of half the world at least is around us. And being another destination for advanced technology and pushing the envelope of advanced technology is a dream job for anyone in that regard. So I'm more than happy to switch from owning my own business to really being an employee in this fortunate job.
And I don't know that most of our listeners really can appreciate how far the Emirates have gone in the last, you know, 50 years from, you know, I have many of my friends in the Emirates who are extraordinarily successful today in across industries, but they grew up in a dirt floor, one room home. And that was the way the world was in the Emirates 50 years ago. And to go and see the extraordinary technologies being developed to everything from, you know, the tallest buildings in the world to missions around Mars in such a rapid, how do you deal with this rate of change? It is extraordinary, Your Excellency.
I think, as you mentioned, for a country, I mean, we are now celebrating our 50 years. For a country to go through such a massive transformation in terms of education, in terms of infrastructure, in terms of security, in terms of the environment that, you know, people are living in this regard. I remember when I was studying abroad and I was coming back for my Christmas holidays and summer holidays, I would spend the first 2 days just driving across town just to see what is new. And that's just between semester to semester, you know, coming back home. At least I would spend 2 days just wandering around the city just to see, you know, what new road, what new facility has come up. And the rate of change, and I think we are in such a fortunate time where there has been massive investment in infrastructure. There's been massive investment in, as you said, health, security, education. But we are in a very interesting time of the country where a lot of foundational things were built and we all now take it for granted, where, forget 50 years ago, even 30 years ago, they didn't really exist in the same manner. But now we're in a phase where the country has set its eyes very aggressively from the top leadership and all the way down to saying we are moving to a knowledge economy. And we need to be ready for the last barrel of oil coming out. Now that we have a great education foundation, health foundation, ecosystem for people to live in, it's an extremely cosmopolitan country in this regard. What are we doing to push the envelope for us to move to a knowledge economy? And I think things like the Advanced Technology Research Council or Edge. I mean, many guys, when we launched Edge nearly 2 years ago, I mean, a year and a half ago, many said, oh, you're launching Edge because you're trying to build products for the defense sector. Yes, but actually the other equally as important reason why Edge was launched it becomes another anchor piece to bring in people from the country and around the region to work in advanced technology. Because at the end of the day, if you want to move yourself to knowledge economy, you need industry, you need research center, you need universities, you need people like yourself and others that you're working with in a wider ecosystem when it comes to researching and advanced technology to really move the needle. And I think in the next 5 to 10 years, the kind of change you will see in this country and the ambitious programs when it comes to research and advanced technology, I think will be second to none compared to what's happening, because everyone in the country, starting from the leadership, is providing a disproportionate amount of time on this topic.
It really is breathtaking how fast things have evolved and developed. And I've been to the Emirates and the region, God, 15, 20 times already. And just my own over the last 20 years, just seeing not just the development of the tech or the application of the capital, but the ambition of the leadership for embracing this technology is extraordinary. Let's talk about feeding the next billion. So this is an interesting competition, which I'm very proud we've launched. It's been a conversation for a while. You know, as we're increasing abundance on the planet, as we are moving people out of extreme poverty and into the middle class, there is an increasing desire for high quality protein. And the challenge is that we're using 1/3 of the non-ice landmass of the planet right now to grow livestock. This is a planet not of humans, but of chickens and pigs and cows. And it's, you know, not sustainable as people, as more and more people can afford better and better food. And there's an ethical moral issue to say, well, you can't have it, but we can. And at the same time, we're overfishing our oceans. We've destroyed or fished away the majority, you know, 80% plus, 90% plus of the large fish on the planet. And again, our rate of growth is not sustainable. So this is a competition for our listeners that's asking. It's a $15 million competition. And again, thank you for the Emirates and for Tony Robbins for supporting this. But it's a $15 million X Prize. We call it Feed the Next Billion. And it's to develop sustainable plant-based and or cell-based proteins, which will fundamentally improve food security, as well as environmental sustainability, as well as animal welfare, with a focus on chicken and fish. What are your thoughts about this, and how excited are you and your colleagues about this competition?
I think it's quite an exciting competition. I know, and you know, and I'm sure you're more than familiar with it, that there has been a lot of work done on meat replacement and, you know, beef replacement items in that regard. And there has been a number of good products, you know, at least coming out in the market in this space. But when it comes to chicken and fish, there still seems to be a gap, or let's call it a lack of maturity in terms of the products compared to the beef side or the meat side of it in that regard. So a competition that's saying, you know, you need to have a product or a fillet of somewhere around close to 100 grams, you know, between 85 to 115 grams in that regard. It has the same, you know, sensory properties, the same structure, the same, you know, nutrition profile as chicken and fish. I think we'd offer another alternative for a lot of people in that regard. And if it can be achieved with the right footprint in terms of the environment, I think an investment in that area was just lacking behind just due to focus before. And I think with the partnership with the XPRIZE, it's nothing other than really giving this an extra boost and really turbocharging this initiative in this regard for more people to look at. And I'm pretty sure this will not be the last initiative in this area, but I think it will jumpstart more awareness and more research to be done in terms of this product category in this regard.
Yeah, I mean, in the same way that our $10 million space prize, the Ansari X Prize, jump-started what we see now with Richard Branson and Virgin Galactic and Jeff Bezos and Blue Origin and Elon and SpaceX. You know, that's our mission here, is to inspire and guide teams, to nucleate the teams to do that. And also, I think very importantly, and you're going to play a role in this, having the national laws allow for these products to be manufactured and sold, because we can create technology breakthroughs, but a lot of times you need to also cause regulatory breakthroughs and cultural breakthroughs where governments allow for this and people accept it and baseline it. What are your thoughts about that?
Absolutely. See, I think one of the things that you know, I explained to a number of colleagues in terms of how we are structured to enable, you know, what we want to do. You know, you have a lot of large countries, the mega countries in that regard. They have a lot of assets and they have a lot of things going for them. But you also have, but then they have their own challenges, which is a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of infrastructure and entities that they have to navigate the maze of getting things approved or passing laws or aligning the entire ecosystem. I think what's interesting about our situation is we are not too large to be too bureaucratic and too complex. And we are not too small to be irrelevant. We are of a sweet, interesting size that we are relevant, but the ecosystem is what we refer to is by investing in this research. And if we are finding it interesting, the country very quickly can adapt itself to issue laws, allow for more trials, allow the ecosystem for such things to flourish. And I think that's where we are trying to position ourselves, is we are of the right size, we are of the right nimble nature. Nothing is perfect, but we are the definition of being agile as a country, where if we want to play in the space, we are willing to come up with laws, we're willing to support with infrastructure, we're willing to take the risk on few initiatives that really helps accelerate and become an interesting showcase in this regard. In line with what you just mentioned, that you don't just have to do this research, but you need to allow the environment for these products then to nurture and to be grown and to be accepted, to be consumed.
Let's take a second for our listeners and actually drill into the XPRIZE competition rules here. So let's take it one piece at a time. The winning team is going to have to develop a new generation of alternative chicken breast and fish fillet. And like you said, there are a number of very successful beef programs in place, both plant-based and cellular. Chicken and fish have been lagging. And as we did the research for this competition, that's why we jointly agreed to focus in that. And the goal is to allow humanity to feed the next billion people economically and in an environmentally sustainable fashion. So every team that competes, and if you're a food scientist or an entrepreneur, just someone who's interested in this competition, you're going to have through December of this year to register. Your team is going to have to deliver 25 servings. As Your Excellency said, 100 grams, which for the Americans and some of the Canadians, that's 3.5
3 to 4 ounces.
Yeah, 3.5 ounces of 3 to 4 ounces of a chicken breast, and 25 servings. Again, 3 to 4 ounces, 100 grams of a fish fillet. So 25 of each, and these servings are going to be cooked by a group of celebrity chefs, and then judged in head-to-head blind tasting competition. So that's going to be the fun part, when we literally have people competing to see
tastes better than chicken, as they say.
Maybe. Well, you know, one of the questions is, why not make something that is tastes better, is cheaper, is healthier for you, and better for the planet? That's the goal.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so there's a couple of parameters besides delivering this. That taste and texture, cost, we're going to require that the winning team be able to demonstrate that at scale, their fish or chicken solution is going to be at least 50% lower cost at scale. We're also going to require that the winning team's solution be able to demonstrate that they're going to have a reduced footprint, environmental footprint of at least 50%. And this is water use, land use, and carbon input to the atmosphere. And then finally, in this competition, it turns out that a lot of the cell-based products, where you're taking a stem cell from a piece of meat, from a chicken or fish, and then you're growing that cell into muscle tissue, which is what typically meat is. If you're typically these cellular agriculture, as it's called, is grown in something like fetal bovine serum, which is derived from living animals, and that just doesn't scale and isn't going to be, you know, sort of from a animal welfare standpoint acceptable. So there's a $2 million prize as well to the team that develops
bonus prize.
Yeah, bonus prize, exactly. For the team that develops a whole animal origin-free growth medium. It's a growth medium that the cells can grow in that doesn't come from an animal. And that's super important. So I'm curious, any of these particular rules that you want to add any texture or comments on?
No, I think, as you said, the aim is to develop a product that can be produced at scale, a product that at the end of the day, as you said, the fun part is the celebrity chef cooking them, but things that people would feel that they are not really compromising by eating. That regard.
Yes, exactly.
At the end of the day, if you compromise by trying to eat it, yeah, maybe a certain percentage of people will, but you know, the vast majority won't. So the aim is to really achieve something that can be done at scale, something that you do not feel compromised at all. I mean, I remember a few days ago, maybe a month or so ago, I was eating a burger, and I ordered beef burger. I ordered one of the veggie based burgers in that regard, or let's call it non beef based. Honestly, someone did not tell me this was a non beef burger, I could not tell the difference. So I did not feel I was compromising in eating it in that regard. And I think if you achieve similar things when it comes to fish and chicken and all of that, I think that with, of course, ensuring that you are delivering the lower footprint and the lower tax on the environment, I think you have the winning formula. I think we are still at the early stages, but such a program, I think, can jumpstart a number of other initiatives, and demands are quite high. People just want a good alternative they don't feel they compromise on.
Yeah, I fully agree. If again, it's even like the electric car business, right? If I have a couple of electric cars, and there's no compromise there for me. The cars are as good, they're better performing. It's easier for me, and so forth, and so it's easy to switch. And if the fish or chicken product here is taste as good or better, it's healthier for you. It's healthier for the environment. It's cheaper. Why wouldn't you? So it's you're never going to mandate what people eat. So make it just more attractive for them. And I agree. So as of right now, just to share, we have 28 teams from 14 countries that are at this stage in the competition. Again, if someone is interested, we are open for the next few months. We have 10 teams from the United States, 4 from Canada, 2 from India, 2 from Japan, and 1 from each of these countries: Argentina, Austria, Singapore, China, Estonia, France, South Africa, South Korea, New Zealand, and the UK. Half the teams are focused on plant-based approaches, and half are focused on cellular agriculture, cell-based approaches. half the teams on fish, half the teams on chicken. And we have six of the teams led by women CEOs, which is always very cool. I think one of the most interesting things about these competitions are in the final result where you can manufacture the food. You know, right now you're not going to bring a million heads of chicken or fish into the Emirates, but you could bring a cellular manufacturing plant into the Emirates.
Absolutely. I think the kind of investment that the country in general, from an appetite point of view, that's doing in tech agriculture and the various technologies and different greenhouses and other things, I think the appetite here, if they see interesting potential in some of these products and solutions, I think there's quite a high appetite for a number of investors, including the government, to really invest in such solutions and such applications.
Yeah. As we wrap up our session here, I want to just share some of the stats that are driving this. So according to the United Nations, by 2050, in the next 30 years, the Earth's population will reach 10 billion. And we really are going to have an additional billion plus mouths to feed on the planet. And again, at the same time, every year, and people sometimes are incredulous about this, every year, there are more people moving out of poverty into the middle class, and they're able to afford better quality food, and the demand goes up. So the number of livestock on the world goes up, and where you grow those livestock means you're tearing down more forest land. And it truly is not sustainable. So, you know, meat production practices have devastating impacts. You know, 50% of all habitable lands, and meat production currently uses 70% of available water used for agriculture. People don't realize that, you know, you need to feed the animals, which means you have to grow the food for the animals. And it's just taking a tremendous amount of the water and the land on the planet to feed and then to grow those animals. It's pretty extraordinary. One other stat: every year, nearly 700 million people, 0.7 billion go hungry, and around 2 billion lack regular access to safe and nutritious food. We have a big problem right now, and it's going to get bigger.
Oh, absolutely.
Your Excellency, thank you again for your support. We're excited. I'm excited to hopefully be one of the observers as we have those celebrity chefs.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward for that session.
I wish you a beautiful day and week ahead, and looking forward to the impact we can have together. Everybody, thank you for listening to this podcast, and please go ahead and check out this competition on the xprize.org website. And if you're interested in learning more, you can send an email to feedthenextbillion@xprize.org, and we are happy to follow up with you and give you additional details. That's feedthenextbillion@xprize.org. Your Excellency, take care, my friend.
Thank you again. Thank you.
A change of seasons means adventures in rain, shine, mist, or snow, or all of the above on the same day. This season, prepare for every season with the Allbirds Mizzle Collection. With all-condition traction and materials and features to keep you comfy and dry no matter what, you'll be ready for anything. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. allbirds.com, code FRESHSOCKS.